Hi, everybody, and thank you for tuning in. This is episode 4 of the Price Point Podcast. Appreciate you taking some time to listen in today. A quick recap of the first 3 episodes. Episode 1, we heard from Don Wakamatsu, bench coach of the Texas Rangers. We touched on spring training, how he gets everybody ready for the long season. At that point, it was towards the end of spring training, so we were able to kind of get a good idea what it was like in that transition phase from spring training to the regular season. And then episode 2, we talked a little WrestleMania and football with the great James Laurinaitis, all-pro or all-American linebacker from Ohio State, who had a good career with the St. Louis Rams and New Orleans Saints. And then last episode, last week, we spoke with Kanan Smith, music artist from Nashville and a friend of mine and my family's. He did touch on his upcoming tour with Florida Georgia Line, so make sure to check that out. Again, you can find the dates at Kanan Smith at CanaanSmith.com. I'm with my producer and friend, Nate Chu. Nate, you're back on the episode after a one-week hiatus.
I'm back.
How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me again.
Good. Yeah, no problem. I think some of your WrestleMania predictions, like mine, were pretty spot on, and that's the reason we decided to bring you back on the show. It's a very well-earned airtime for you. So how did you feel about WrestleMania and your predictions?
Felt pretty good. It was a lot of fun. Eating
my food.
Eating all of your food.
Yeah.
That was a really good time. Thanks for having us over.
Yeah, you're welcome. Did you even watch? Because for those of you who are listening who don't know what my basement looks like, which is more than likely all of you, we put some food up against the wall where you can't really see the TV. And Nate over here just pretty much stood there for about 6 whole matches, just eating chips and sliders and whatever we had.
The important part was the food for me.
Yeah, and, I hear you.
That's part of WrestleMania, I feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to be honest, Michael Cole is that good when he announces wrestling,
right,
that you can listen to him and it's like a book on tape. You can just picture yourself right there.
It really
ringside.
Is.
Ringside. Michael Cole, you're the man. But it is Masters Week. This is Friday, late in the day Friday, early evening here in beautiful Colorado. And so round 2 is still going on. It looks like we've got about a 5 or 6 person tie for the lead. Who is your pick out of the leaders, the guys that are leading it, the 5 or 6? Who do you think has the best shot, not necessarily will win, who has the best shot of holding on here?
I think Koepka has really shown a lot. I know a lot of golf peers don't really appreciate his game.
Yep.
But I love what he's doing. He drives the ball crazy far.
Yes, he does.
He's really proving it so far today and yesterday.
Yeah, he's a monster off the tees. I think that can keep him in contention as long as he stays in the fairway. I think if he's, hits the fairway on the majority of his drives, I would say 15, 16 out of the 18 holes, then I think he is going to be in good shape. I'm going to change it up here. I like Louis Oosthuizen. I just like his name. and I've picked him to win tournaments in the past, and he's actually won a few of the ones that I've picked, and I would be a dang fool if I didn't pick him to do well here. Although I did not play him in my FanDuel for this tournament. It's the free one, not big gambling man. It was a free entry, so only the top like 5 get a prize, and it's probably like grass that was mowed from the rough. That would be the top prize. We're talking about the Masters here. We've got a couple more days. In the past, it looks as if, at least for this weekend, looks like, at least what I've seen, the weather's supposed to cooperate. That's not been the case in the past year. So if you take weather into consideration, let's say Koepka can't be a monster off the tees, if the wind is, kind of playing against him, who do you think, you said the golf purists don't like his game. Out of the golfers that are, that are fundamentally sound golfer who isn't in the lead, who would you say has a good shot out of the more popular names that may not be at the top of the leaderboard?
It's always tough to bet against Woods. Mm. He looked really good today, especially although he did miss a 10-foot putt for birdie that would have put him tied for the lead. I'm a huge fan of Ricky Fowler. I thought this was going to be his time.
And it may be. It's day 2, Nate. Calm down.
He's like, what, 5 strokes behind the lead. But you're right. I think I need to be more optimistic.
You do. And if you make the cut and you play through the weekend, you've got a shot. That's my opinion. I mean, let's say Molinari was 46 under par and the cut was one under. No, they don't have a shot. But the the leader, I think maybe 10, 11, 12 under, depending on the weather, will win it. And I think Ricky Fowler, one good round away from being up there.
Rooting for Ricky.
Yeah. What about Shooter McGavin? Do you think he's got a shot? I see him shooting up the leaderboard a little bit. Pardon my stupid joke. I've been wanting to say that since we started this. No, yeah, Shooter McGavin?
You got to listen to what he has to say, otherwise you'll pay.
That's true. Are you going to listen in the hay? Okay.
Sit by the bay.
Sit by the bay. Happy Gilmore. Great movie. Chubbs, we love you. We miss you. Hope your hand heals in heaven. You sweet, sweet man. Another thing I just realized, I'm a Modern Family fan. That show's awesome. It didn't really occur to me that's the same lady. She looks just not necessarily the same. She looks, I think, younger now than 20 years ago when Happy Gilmore was made.
Is it really the same actress?
It is the same actress.
No way.
I swear, Claire Dunphy. And she looks pretty good for a, for playing in Happy Gilmore 20 years ago.
I gotta look this up.
Yeah. Look it up. Don't believe me. Whatever. She is Claire Dunphy from Modern Family.
You're right. Julie Bowen.
Julie Bowen. That's her real name. I think she looks better now. What do you think?
I think so, too. Yeah. I liked her a lot in Modern Family.
Me, too. Great character. Great show.
Awesome show.
Yeah.
I stopped following it for a little bit.
Yeah, so did I.
I
think it was like it had more seasons than Grey's Anatomy and more, even more so than Land Before Time movies. There was like 46 of those. But anyway, yeah, those are a couple of our predictions for the Masters. I think Ricky Fowler is those that aren't at the top of the leaderboard, I think, has a great shot at coming back and winning the thing. I'm a Brent Snedeker fan. Go Vandy. He's a huge Preds fan. I like Sneds. I don't think he's got what it takes, but I'm rooting for you, Brent. Brent, if you couldn't hear the A in there, it's Brent Snedeker, not Brent, which is so most commonly mispronounced.
Speaking of Vanderbilt, what do you think of Jerry Stackhouse?
Ooh, I love the hire. I really hated to see Bryce Drew go. I know he went winless this year in conference and took over a well-recruited team from the Stallings era. And he's a great recruiter himself. But, new AD, he came and cleaned house a little bit. And Bryce Drew gone. Jerry Stackhouse, I think, is going to be a great fit. He's a good guy. Players will buy into his schemes, his thoughts, the way he leads the team. So that's a long answer, but I love the Stackhouse hire. What do you think? I mean, I know you're
UC
Davis fan.
I don't really follow Vanderbilt. But okay. Since we're on the topic of college basketball, I want to get your thoughts on the whole scandal that's been circling the NCAA.
Are you talking about like the whole scandal of like how a high school player doesn't even have to go to school or now does for 1 year and can be gone versus football where you have to go play 4 years?
More like paying for their kids guaranteed to get into school.
Oh, okay. Some celebrities have been kind of caught in the middle of, kind of paying their way into the schools. I know Dr. Dre's name came up because his son, I think, was it UCLA or USC? USC, I think. It's one of those Pac-12 schools in LA. I think it's USC. Dr. Dre's name came up. He kind of put it through as a booster club. He pushed his money through the boosters. His name has come up in this scandal. And of course, Uncle Jesse's wife in Full House, Aunt Becky. And for the life of me, I can't think of her name. Lori Laughlin, I think. But really, it's Aunt Becky putting money, I guess, paying her daughter's way into, I believe it was Harvard or one of the Ivy League schools. And it came out later that her daughter doesn't even want to go to school. She just wants to party. That was her words, not mine. It's a weird thing. To be honest with you, I think this has gone on a very, very long time. But now with everything social media, with Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook, not many people that are in the limelight can do anything in private. And so I think 50 years ago, I think this was happening with people. And it was just a lot easier to really cover it up. But again, now with ways to trace money and all the social media, I think it's... I think it I think that there will be a lot more names now that there have been a few. It would not surprise me if this continues.
Yeah, and Laughlin's facing up to 40 years in jail. That's
40 years.
I can't imagine Aunt Becky in jail.
That's just, you know, I think she'll bail out because that's only one more smash hit from Jesse and the Rippers. And I think, you know, I think Danny Tanner and Wake Up San Francisco or whatever the heck it's called, you know, I think he'll help when he has Kimmy Gibbler as his co-host now instead of the great Aunt Becky. She'll get out. It's wrong. I know 40 years seems a bit harsh, especially for trying to, and I'm not defending her. I don't think that's right at all, but to want to get a girl, her daughter, into one of the better schools across the world, really, 40 years is a little bit much.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like this happens. It happens a lot more often than, you know, people realize. Or maybe Absolutely. They do realize, you know, and there's nothing you can really do about it. There's boosters. There's, you know, parents making donations. There's always a way to kind of leverage you and your family into these colleges. And
Absolutely.
It's not fair, but what are you, I mean, like, what are you gonna do about it?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot you can do.
No, and like I mentioned, it's a lot harder to get away with it now with all the social media and the way to trace money nowadays compared to 50, 60, 70, 100 years ago. I think it's always happened. I truly do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think people are corrupt now randomly and suddenly. I think this has been something that's been going on, you know, for the most part for a long, long time. I mean, you saw the movie Accepted, South Harmon Institute of Technology, where they create the school. I mean, nobody's freaking blowing that up. And I just don't think this is a new SHIT, South Harmon Institute of Technology. I just thought of that. I know they probably reference it in the movie, but I haven't seen it in so long that It spells a bad word, and I think that's hilarious. anyway, back to being serious. It is an epidemic, I think, that will always be around and always has. It's just kind of now in the limelight with the big names like Dr. Dre or Aunt Becky. But what we want to go into next a little bit, and we'll have a whole episode or two really kind of heavily, you know, targeting this topic is paid athletes in college. And you see now all the dollars that the NCAA generates. And I know it's probably a split 50-50 or close to whether a NCAA athlete, and we'll leave NAIA out, we'll leave JUCO out and just talk about the NCAA athletes just because NCAA has a stranglehold on everything that's college sports. What are your opinions before I go into mine? A lot of people think that, oh yeah, he gets a free degree from Duke. What else can you give the guy,
right?
Or whatever school it is. So I'll leave it there. What are your thoughts about it before I dive into mine?
Yeah, I can kind of see both sides.
I agree.
I think that's, I mean, it's unpopular to feel like athletes shouldn't, or college athletes shouldn't get paid. But I mean, I can kind of see it. You know, I don't agree with it, but I can see the reasoning. Like, these are amateur athletes. They shouldn't be getting paid. But I think, you know, these kids are making so much money for the schools.
Absolutely.
They're making so much money for the TV stations.
Nike.
Yeah, they're making money for huge brands. Mm. They're representing these companies. You know, when I was in college, I was eating ramen every day.
Yeah.
Ramen and Tapatio.
Ooh. To add a little flavor to your food, go with Tapatio.
Little Tapatio, put some cheese on it in the microwave. Oh, man.
That sounds good.
That's what I learned from a prison documentary, actually.
Which one? Locked Up? Or one of those?
Yeah, Locked Up.
Okay.
Something like that.
Extended Stay?
Scared Straight.
For the Lori Loughlins around the world.
But anyway, you know, it's a touchy subject, but I feel like it's not fair that these kids aren't getting...
It is a tough one, and you're kind of stumbling on your words there, but this is a subject that everybody does because you can see both sides of it. I certainly do, but I would err on the side of absolutely pay the athletes. Like you said, the dollars they generate, the dollars the NCAA generates, and Nike and Adidas and Puma and New Balance and, you know, the schools, like Zion Williamson, people are wearing Nikes, whether Zion is sponsored by Nike yet or not, because Zion wears Nikes. And so Nike, they don't even have to sign these guys to make money on them until they're ready to sign. I mean, obviously, he can't wear Nikes if he signs with Puma. So kids won't wear Nike for Zion at that point. But you see my point here is, you know, they're the ones generating, you know, all the money. Like, let's say, you know, Cam Reddish or whoever. And I don't mean to just be on all over Duke here. I'm not necessarily a Duke fan. But, you know, when you think college basketball, you think Duke. When you think college football, you think Alabama, USC. And all these guys that, like Reggie Bush when he was at USC. And Brady Quinn, I don't know why his name came up, but he dominated in college when he was there. And I remember the Reggie Bush, Brady Quinn game at Notre Dame when Notre Dame grew the grass high. This was probably 14, 15 years ago. I remember that game specifically. But yeah, I mean, those players bring in so much money, not just to their schools, but to their communities. And they, people in Czechoslovakia are buying Alabama football jerseys because they know when they think of football, it's Alabama, it's USC, it's Texas, it's, you know, those. So, you know, that's a long answer to, you know, to the question I originally asked. But absolutely, pay the athletes. Let's move on with this debate. It may be something that is debated until they decide to pay him. And even after that, probably for the following years. But
it'll definitely be an endless debate. But here's the thing. If I'm going to school for, say, accounting, and I get a part-time job at a CPA, and I'm getting paid, how is that different
Correct.
Than going to school as an athlete and getting paid?
You mean like an internship that's paid?
Right.
Yeah, and that's a point I bring up to anybody that argues that with me. It's like a college athlete is working a full-time freaking job. Athletics in college is a full-time job. I played baseball in college, NCAA, and it was literally 40 hours a week. And that's not even including, you know, study hall and studying on your own and your social life. And if you even wanted to could have one back then, which when you do that balance, then your sleep schedule jumps out of whack because you want to go out till 2 a.m., get up at 5:30 for weights or whatever. So you ask that question in a serious way. And I like that you asked that because, yeah, I mean, if you're going to say athletes, you know, athletes don't deserve to get paid, well, neither does the intern that works 2 hours every couple weeks on accounting projects. And they should get paid. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm saying you can't argue both sides.
And you brought up a good point about how being an athlete is a full-time job. You know, you played in the NCAA. I worked in the NCAA. And these kids are waking up and lifting, doing spring training, spring practices at 4 in the morning. You know, and they go to class. After class, they go lift some more. There's film study, conditioning. There's everything.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it takes up probably more than the hours we work.
Oh yeah. Oh, 100%. And that's, so I mentioned baseball being 40 hours. I honestly think football is a lot more than 40 hours.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, you're right that in baseball, yeah, you watch film, you have, you study a little bit. That's for football. If I were to say that baseball studies more film than football, I would be lying through my teeth. And I know how much time goes into, you know, being a college athlete on the baseball side of stuff. I mean, you can watch documentaries. You can, there's so much stuff that goes behind the scenes. You're absolutely right. I think it's a lot more than the 40-hour work week or 50-hour work week that we're used to here. It's more than a full-time job.
Absolutely. So,
and again, we're going to touch on that more. We have plenty of guests coming up on our future podcast that have been there, have lived it. As well, and they'll give our input, and we'll get their input as well. But you know, that, like Nate just said, I think that's a debate that will go on for ages to come, even after, if and after they decide to pay the athletes at the NCAA level. What I want to touch on now, I mean, we're NFL draft and Leichhardt, which is what, a couple weeks away?
Yeah,
already
quick.
In the great city of Nashville, my hometown. I wish I could be there. I can't. Speaking of the NFL draft, go back and listen to episode 2 of our podcast with James Laurinaitis. He touches a little bit, not really just a little bit. We have a 5-minute conversation just on what it was like sitting there waiting to be drafted interesting stuff. You got to check that out. It'll kind of get you pumped for the draft if you're like me or Nate and are dying to, you know, watch the NFL draft and kind of sit there for a couple days. Nate, do you see any way that Kyler Murray does not go number one overall?
I don't. There's too much rumors going around with the Cardinals shipping Josh Rosen. And even if they don't, I can actually almost see a San Diego Chargers scenario happening where they traded for Phillip Rivers when they still had Drew Brees in the back. Not saying Josh Rosen is Drew Brees, but you know, there was it's a player that they have. They decided to go get another quarterback, and you know, who knows, maybe Josh Rosen could continue to play even with Murray on the roster and prove himself and make himself a tradable asset.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talk about that in that episode with James, and I said, I asked him this question. I said, do you think there's any pride that goes into an organization like the Cardinals who were so high on Rosen? I think they were third or fourth pick last year, and they took Josh Rosen. So for them to turn around, and I know they got Kingsbury, new coach, everything, to turn around and pick a QB 1 year later, and I ask him, is there any pride that goes into whether they pick him or not? Because if they pick him, you know, they say, well, we did screw the pooch on that pick last year. If they don't pick him, they'll more than likely pick Bosa, I think, the defensive end out of Ohio State that San Francisco, I guess, is slated to pick, according to a lot of mock drafts. But it's an interesting topic. When we talked to James Laurinaitis, the way he answered it, I think, was pretty spot on. And so we were firing questions about that stuff to him. Nate, what is your you're a 49er fan? Pick number two, is it pretty set in stone? Will Nick Bosa be a San Francisco 49er and wear that ugly color, maroon and gold, for the rest of his career?
The amazing red and gold. I can't see any other. Well, that's not true. So I do think the pick is Bosa. He seems like he was unstoppable in Ohio State.
He's pretty good.
I would actually prefer the kid from Alabama, Quinnen
Williams. Okay, I think that.
I think the Niners need the interior line would be extremely helpful. I know they can use a pass rusher on the edge too, but I think DeForest Buckner is really coming along. They just signed Dee Ford, who could maybe hold the position down for a couple years. Not saying a player like Nick Bosa comes around every year, but I feel like Williams is I'm on the hype train. He really impressed me at the combine for what that's worth.
Yeah.
And just, you know, during the season, he seemed unstoppable at times also on the inside. And I feel like that's a huge
against huge the SEC too.
Yeah.
The loaded SEC, he dominated.
Yeah.
You know, so I like that. I think the reason why there's so many mock drafts is because there's a lot of people that think the team need is different than maybe a Mel Kiper or somebody else that didn't think that. So I'm a diehard Titans fan.
Who do you see your Titans in that nasty blue and teal, which almost look identical in color? So it's a clashing color. This is the big blue blob.
Blutiful is what we call it. Just the beautiful.
It's almost like it's 1 yard shy of winning it as a color scheme.
You had to go there, didn't you? 1 yard short. He always freaking jabs at me, but we'll see. I guarantee the Titans will win a Super Bowl before the 49ers, and it'll probably happen next year. Mariota, I love you. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Titans early, and we'll get to NFL predictions in the future as we get closer to football season. But Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson will be a Tennessee Titan.
Guaranteed.
I have my sources. It's Shooter McGavin.
You did win our NFL throwdown of the draft last year.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. I didn't want to bring. I'm humble. Since you brought it up, yeah, I did. I won the.
Who was your pick?
Was that the? No, it was the NBA one.
No. For the Titans.
Oh, Dexter Lawrence.
Oh, the Clemson kid.
Yeah. He's not going to fall to 24. That's ungodly. That's a slap in the face to anything that's Dexter Lawrence. He'll end up on the Titans. You know, the thing is, the Titans don't need a lot like the 49ers do. I think when you're the 49ers, you can close your eyes, spin around 64 times, and still be able to pick and get something right. You know, the Titans are only a piece or two away from being, you know, 10-time Super Bowl champions. And so the draft is exciting, but football season is not here. But you know what is here? The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs are here. You and I are actually going to the Nuggets home game. Game one against the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow night.
Go Spurs, go.
This is over. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
When did you become a Nuggets fan?
You know, since probably...
You're a fan of
late 1980s? No, I'm just kidding. I'm a Knicks fan who is in Nuggets territory who's caught that beaver, baby. Let's go, Nuggets. I'm a diehard Alex English fan. Diehard Allen Iverson fan. I could keep going on. Birdman Anderson. Whose jersey should I wear tomorrow night?
I think you got to wear Marcus Kim.
No, I'm going to go Antonio McDyess.
Antonio McDyess.
I'm going McDyess. Out of the University of, do you remember? We mentioned the school just a few minutes ago.
Vandy?
No, I wish. Alabama.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Six players out of Alabama in basketball history are remembered, and one is currently the point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Antonio McDyess is probably the second.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but so who we'll talk NBA right now. Who is your pick to win the West? Who's your pick to win the East? And who is your pick to win it all? And speaking with a god-awful Golden State Warrior fan, he is West Coast through and through. Nate's going to say the Warriors, but
Bay Area. I think it's going to be a good playoffs. I think there's not going to be any huge blowouts or sweeps.
Thank God.
The Warriors are going to take the West, hopefully. I can see them taking the West.
Not a hopefully.
They're going to take the West.
I hope the Knicks somehow get into the playoffs after they're, you know, finish 60 games out of first.
Detroit just throws in the towel.
Yeah. And they say, hey, Knicks, we want you to play the Bucks.
Our city's bankrupt. Take it over.
Yeah.
New York.
We love you, Detroit. So you're going with the Warriors in the West.
Warriors in the West. I mean,
are you being a homer here?
I'm being a little bit of a homer, but I feel like that's a smart pick.
It's not a bad pick.
That's the smart pick.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a very sexy creative.
Pick. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not creative. It's not sexy.
Yeah.
But Warriors in the West. I want to take the Bucks in the East. And that might not be a very creative pick either.
The thing is, though, they're the one seed, but nobody really is buying into the Bucks.
No one's buying it, but Giannis is.
He's a monster. And I've said that since his rookie year, that I love Giannis. I think he's the next big thing. People compare LeBron to Michael Jordan, which is like one of the seven deadly sins, I think. Since his rookie year, I've been all up on the Giannis train. They, like I mentioned before, you know, all the comparison between Jordan and LeBron James. I think Giannis is 10 times better than LeBron James. I think he'll eventually. Yeah, I know. That's a little bit of sacrilege, I think, for Cleveland fans and LA Laker fans and Miami Heat fans and whoever else the hell LeBron wants to go to next to try to freaking win. I'm not a LeBron fan. You can probably hear that in my voice. But Giannis, I think, brings them to the NBA Finals. I don't know if they'll win it. That's my Eastern Conference pick.
And who's your West?
I'm going with the Denver Nuggets.
Whoa.
I am going with the Denver Nuggets, and here's why. Because I said so. Because
right,
I want to... if you smell... I'm going with the Nuggets because, first of all, they're in our backyard here in northern Colorado. We can watch them through the finals. I want to go to the NBA Finals. I'm going Nuggets. I think Jokic. I think Jamal Murray is probably the most improved player in the NBA. He's made strides to become the point guard he is today. I say Nuggets, Bucks in the finals. I'm not going to make a prediction, at least not yet, but Bucks, Nuggets, NBA Finals 2019.
I was going to ask you to make a pick that wasn't the consensus pick.
And I did.
And you did.
I did.
So
I
don't, of the East, outside of the Bucks, who would you pick if you couldn't choose the Bucks?
If I couldn't choose the Bucks... You know, the Raptors haven't ever gotten over the hump, but I think overall that their roster now with Kawhi Leonard, that'd be a heck of an Eastern Conference Finals between Milwaukee and Toronto. That would be fun basketball to watch. I think there's a big gap between Milwaukee and Toronto and the rest of the field. If there's one dark horse, I think Indiana, even without Oladipo, I think it's pretty solid. I don't think they'll win it, but if there was a dark horse out of the East, Indiana's my pick. If there's a dark horse out of the West, you can't call him a dark horse, but Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams, and Paul George. Those guys are good enough to carry them for a long time.
All right.
We made our NBA predictions just now. We are a game in, some of the games too in the first round of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals are going on right now, but who's your pick in the East? Who's your pick in the West? And again, I know we've played a game and game twos in a couple series are being played right now. Who do you see in the East? I bet I can guess you're a Western Conference winner. Freaking Bay Area again. Who are your picks to make the finals?
On the East, I have the Bruins.
I like it.
I think
they're down 0-1, but it doesn't. I mean,
they're always. I feel like they're always pretty consistent out in the West. Yep, you caught me. I think it's going to be the Sharks.
Why?
It's their time. They haven't. They've lost it to the Canucks.
Yeah.
A couple years back. Well, no, several years back. That was like 10 years ago.
I know, but it doesn't feel like that long ago.
Oh, man.
Gosh.
I remember watching that. We're getting old, dude. Holy crap.
I want to be a kid again.
Wow. Maybe they won't win. It's been so long.
I think
they're going to win.
Joe Thornton was still 50 back then, and he's still playing. Yeah, you're a Bay Area guy, but I don't really argue that pick because I think there's about six teams in the West. Really, I think there's eight. Anybody in the West every year can win it. I remember the 8-seed LA Kings won it all five or six years ago. And then my team, the Nashville Predators, were the 8-seed when they went to the finals and lost, unfortunately, to Pittsburgh in game six on home ice. My pick in the West, you know, I want to say Nashville because that's my team. I'm going to go with the St. Louis Blues to come out of the Western Conference. And I think in the East, I know Tampa's down 1-0 right now, but there's too much firepower on that team. I see them bouncing back, winning the series in six, and going on to face St. Louis in the Stanley Cup Finals. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We're on social media. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. No, we're not on Facebook yet. We need to be, Nate.
We do. Need to,
yeah, let's. We're going to be on Facebook, people, but don't look for us yet. We're not on there, but we are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. Again, good things to come on the horizon for us here at the Price Point at NNL Studios. We're going to get into next week. We're going to get into a little bit about officials and parents and coaches and how they all intertwine. We recently got a email from our CEO in regards to the official that was almost beaten to death, unfortunately to say, by a coach. This was recently in Kentucky. Just a couple weeks ago. So we'll touch on that and then interview our special guests. Thank you for listening. Follow us on social media. On Twitter, we are at ThePricePoint1. That is the number one. On Instagram, we are at ThePricePoint. And make sure to check us out on SoundCloud. Make sure to follow and subscribe to our podcast. And if you did like what you listened to in the first four episodes, please tell a friend. We are growing. We're excited. Thank you again. We'll be back next week.